We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
On the Tar Heel Sports Network, from Learfield, this is Holding Court with Courtney Banghart. Presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. Here's your host, Matt Krause.
And we say hello once again, live on location at the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Another full house here, ready to talk all things Carolina women's basketball on Holding Courts with Courtney Banghart, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. It is Monday, February the 20th. My name is Matt Krause, radio play-by-play voice of Carolina women's basketball, joined by the head coach herself, coach, a 1-1 week for Carolina, a victory yesterday against Wake Forest. Glad you're here. Congrats on the win. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back with you and all these smiling faces.
Absolutely. So your team coming off the Thursday loss against NC State, back on your home floor where you had so much success this season and in recent years. You bounce back, get the job done against Wake, led the game by as many as 20, wind up winning it 71-58. What impressed you about the way that your team was able to put Thursday quickly in the rearview mirror and take care of business against a talented Wake Forest team at home?
Yeah, I think that. I mean, Thursday was brutal at times, right? We felt like we won the game for about 36 minutes and then didn't win the game at the end. And our kids were really bummed out, obviously, and had given a lot of energy and effort. And so we didn't practice on Friday. We didn't have enough bodies to practice. So, you know, we just, it was good to see them turn the page. I felt like Saturday we really had a good adjustment and, you know, we're able to focus on the things that we need. And we love playing at home. You guys have made that, like, just really special. So that we knew playing at home would be an advantage.
It's now 28 wins in the last 30 games at Carmichael Arena since February of 2021.
Hey,
yeah, that's worth
good.
A round of applause.
That is good. I'll
absolutely.
Take it. Let's just play all our games at home.
Well, we've got one more in the regular season, hopefully three more if you're listening out there, NCAA. Leading into that Wake Forest game, was there something you emphasized about ball movement? 18 assists and just 11 turnovers in the win over the Deacs.
Yeah, we've been emphasizing that really all year. And, you know, there's times where we're better at it than others. And, you know, without Alyssa in transition, we're playing a little bit more in the half court. And so that changes your angles a little bit. Our play calls have to change a little bit. Without those two. So, you know, I think they've made strides. It was really great to see. Deja had 6 assists. I think it was 7 or 8. And then Toddy had 5. I mean, that's when the ball's in their hands a lot. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, Carolina had 7 different players record an assist in that game.
Two rebounds.
Yes.
Everyone who played except for Malou had 2 rebounds.
Everyone that played at least 3 minutes had at least 2 rebounds. Look at that. And Carolina with the largest advantage in rebounding in ACC play. You can tell I looked up all these numbers this morning. Let's talk Deja for a second. 24 points, her ninth 20-point game of the season. That surpasses her total from last year. She goes 10 of 20 from the floor. Second time in her last four games that she's hit 10 or more field goals. What qualities do you see in her on days that could be classified as good shooting days from Deja?
You know, I think when I thought she made great decisions with the ball. When she was supposed to pass, she passed. When she was supposed to shoot, she shoot. She shot. She got us out moving in transition. You know, when she was off the ball and Kayla was at the one, you know, she was able to get to her spots differently. It was just an efficient night for her. She's a playmaking guard. She's not just a lead. She's not just a wing. And if the play requires her to move the ball, you know, she's doing that a little bit better. And if the play requires her to score in her area, she's doing that too. So it was just kind of a complete effort for her. We needed it. I mean, we know we've been underhanded, and so she's had to do a lot. And seeing her enjoy it has been fun.
Kennedy Todd Williams saw some time at the four spot this week. Part of that's by necessity without Alyssa Usby. But what are the pros and cons of a smaller lineup like that, where you've got three guards out there that could be lead guards, and then you put Toddy at the four?
Yeah, a lot of cons in some ways, because that's not the position that Toddy plays. But she knows the play calls, right? And so our play sheet has gotten shorter with our lineups. So when we have to run certain things, it's important that people know what we're doing. You know, and she's got so much experience, so she's hard to take off the floor in that environment that was at NC State. And so, you know, the advantages is you have a more full playbook and you've got more experience on the floor. The disadvantage is that, you know, you've got a guy who doesn't play the four playing the four. So it's a give and take.
Yeah, Kennedy Todd Williams took the jump ball to start overtime against NC State. That made me do a little bit of a double take. And Toddy and Deja both playing at least 38 minutes in the Wake Forest game, coming off of an overtime game Thursday. It's February. You've played the bulk of your season. You've been going, as you like to say, since June. Want to let you give a shout-out to your sport performance team for having everyone ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, some days I'm mad at them because I don't get to practice, and that's when I get to do my work. But yeah, they're doing a great job taking care of bodies and making sure that it's hard because some guys need more load because they're not playing as much. Some guys need less load, and so we're managing that kind of minute to minute and day to day. And then these guys are vets, so they know how to take care of their bodies. They're putting a lot of time into the recovery room, you know, and so it's kind of a teamwork deal.
You and I talked a bit post-game yesterday about the team's defensive effort. You allowed 20 points in the first quarter. It's a Wake team that came in last in the ACC, averaging less than 60 a game. And then the rest of the way, you hold them to 38, including 6 in the entire third quarter. How pleased were you with your team's ability to make those adjustments, correct the early mistakes, and lock down the Deacs the rest of the way?
Yeah, so Wake plays really differently than everybody else in our league. They do a lot of stuff off the ball. So, you know, usually she's coming from the mid-major environment where you kind of use all five more. You maybe don't have these star powers that some of these conferences have. And so we hadn't seen a lot of this off-ball screening action stuff. And so we were hugging our own a little bit, which you would do in an on-ball attack. So we were preparing as best we could in our one day of practice. But we knew that if they just stayed, you know, I made a few adjustments to that, and they really locked into it. They've been really adjustable all year. It's been great.
Okay, aside from the game itself yesterday, did you see the scooter race, or were you too busy coaching the team?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are way too nice to my kids. But the good thing is that we had about 20 or so of her friends had never been to a Carolina women's game, and they were like, what have we been missing? And they said, we'll be back. This is amazing. When's the next one? And we told them it was an 8 o'clock game. And they were like, ooh, that one's late. so we'll have to wait until hopefully either the tournament or next year. But yeah, she got to do the relay or the scooter race. We also, you saw them, they threw the t-shirts out. They hit Walt right in the head with a t-shirt because they can't throw very far. That was pretty hilarious too. That was their highlight of the whole, they got to, you know, it was Ramsey's birthday too. And Ramsey, as we all know, is a big hit. And so they got to take a picture with Ramsey. They got their t-shirt signed by our whole team. They got kind of this whole thing. And the best thing they loved is throwing the t-shirts out.
Well, Kendall Gear, who's a friend of the program, he made his way over right in front of the Wake huddle.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I was worried he was going to run right into the Wake. This is all, I miss a lot during the game. You guys get to see all this, but I see it after the fact.
He takes the t-shirt and chucks it barely over the head of some folks in the weight cuddle. So you see like weight grad assistants and video staff. They're just ducking out of the way. They don't know what's going on inside Carmichael.
It was awesome.
Well, what did happen inside Carmichael was a 71-58 Carolina victory over Wake Forest, the 10th win of the season in ACC play, 23rd time in the history of the program that Carolina's posted double-digit wins in conference action. We're off and running here on Holding Court, and the presenting season sponsor of this program and women's basketball this season is Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics, believes an inclusive community is a healthy community. We resolve to be a champion for women everywhere by supporting women's athletics to help empower our future leaders. We'll take a time out, then come on back with the head coach of the Tar Heels to talk about Thursday's senior night festivities. It's after this from Learfield. We are back on Holding Court. The Tar Heels sitting at 10-6 in ACC play. Hard to believe, coach, but the final week of the regular season is here. And it is two matchups that carry a lot of weight for the Tar Heels this week. A home game against Virginia Tech Thursday night, 8 o'clock. That's the regular season home finale. We'll be on the air at 7:30 with the Reed Steelers pregame. And then Sunday, the very short trip to Cameron Indoor Stadium, noon tip, on the air for basketball brunch at 11:30 with the Reed Steelers pregame for that one. So Thursday, as we said, is senior night. And last year was really emotional, saying goodbye to Carly Littlefield and Jalen Murray. Now this year, you say goodbye to Eva Hodgson, Ariel Young, and Malu Chitenge. What are the emotions as a coach on senior night?
Gosh, they're the worst. I mean, they're the worst. It's senior night's brutal. So we're going to do our celebration after the game. You know, I remember recruiting these kids. I've been in their living rooms. I've seen them. I've had a lot of hard conversations, a lot of good conversations. You know, you've seen them. These guys take, I've said this before, it takes enormous courage to be a Division I athlete at this level because you put what you love out there for everybody to see, and it doesn't always go well. And a lot happens behind closed doors that doesn't happen on game days, right? And just when I think of their character, when I think of their families, I think of their growth. And I know what's next, which is not this, right? And this is a really special time in their life. And so, you know it's a turning of the page. So it's brutal. I try to stay really focused, but I just kind of meet it where it is, which is brutal.
Yeah, it leads me right into my next question. How do you make sure that you and the team separate those emotions and reflections from the task at hand, which in this case is earning a resume-boosting 6th-ranked win this season against a Virginia Tech team that's won 6 in a row?
You do that in recruiting, right? You recruit kids that you care about game time. But you also, we're doing a celebration of our seniors on Saturday at the Blue Zone where our seniors will speak, our juniors will speak about them, their parents will be there. And so we kind of have our moment outside of the cameras to share and to be together. And then it quickly turns the page of how do you never forget your senior night, right? And what do we want? How do we want our program to look and be and feel for those 3 seniors on senior night? So we'll play in their honor that night. That's a little bit easier.
What do you remember about your own senior night at Dartmouth?
Well, we played Harvard, who is was our rival back then. And I had all my, I was in a sorority, which probably makes most of y'all laugh, but it was the closest place I could live next to the gym. And so it was, so they were all in the upper, they were all in the special seating area. And I scored 38, which was my, ended up being my career high on senior night. And we beat Harvard that they went then next to go. That brought us to the NCAA tournament and all the things. So a lot.
That sounds like quite the special night there.
You bet.
Let's reflect on each of your seniors one by one. We'll go in jersey number order, smallest to largest. So we'll start with Eva Hodgson, number 10.
Yeah. You know, Eva, you guys know this, but it's crazy. She grew up where I grew up, and where we grew up, nobody leaves, right? And so we're 2 of the ones that left. And there's a stoplight, there's a general store, there's a school, and there's Eva and me, you know. And so when I recruited her to Princeton, she didn't want to pay. And so she said no. And when I recruited her here, I was actually us and Virginia Tech were her final 2 choices. And, you know, for a kid from New Hampshire who I've known a long time and whose families have known each other a long time, it's really remarkable and special. And I'm so glad that I've been able to give her this experience. I know she's loved it.
Ariel Young, number 11.
Yeah, AY has been through a lot. You know, physically, she hasn't been able to do anything that she's wanted to do. She came into us from Michigan with a shoulder injury. And then, of course, she's had some lower body injuries as well. And how she's handled hard is something that I think our team can really feel inspired by because it's never been about her. It's been about being grateful to be in this program and how she carries herself. So, you know, you heard her career hasn't meant a lot on the court over the course of the last couple of years because of the injuries, but she has been a huge part of who we are. And she was the first kid that I actually got that I had recruited here. And I'm really proud to say that she's deserving of that, and I was right in choosing her.
Yeah, mid-year transfer that first season. Her very first game on the bench was the win over NC State that year at home. That was a special
The stuff
night.
You remember, Matt, it's amazing.
It's my job. And then last but not least, Malucha Tenge, the only four-year player who's been with you since day one as a head coach at Carolina.
Oh, man. Malu is like my fave. I mean, she's just such a good human, really kind-hearted. Really has taken, as you guys remember, she was on the rookie team as a freshman, and her role has decreased kind of year to year. She had some hip injury, had to have a pretty significant surgery, so she's kind of never really been able to get back. She will greet you every day with a genuine smile and a genuine kindness. She cares how people feel. And this is not an age group that does that naturally. This is a little self-absorbed, to say the least. And she is the opposite of that. So her light will shine wherever she goes, everywhere she goes. And, you know, her light will be missed tremendously by me and by our entire program.
Sure to be an emotional night on Thursday as Carolina says goodbye to Eva Hodgson, Ariel Young, and Malucha Tenge, but a whole lot to accomplish for that trio still this season with two regular season games and then the postseason upon us. We'll take another time out here on Holding Court. Come on back and get to some listener questions, as we always do on the program, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. It's Holding Court from Learfield. We say hello once again here on Holding Court at the Sheraton Chapel Hill. One more show here at the Sheraton next Monday at noon, then no show the ensuing week, the break between the ACC tournament and Selection Sunday, and then our final show on the schedule is in conjunction with the Selection Show party. So,
oh, cool.
A little bit of a up and down schedule here moving forward, but want to make sure that folks have that as they track the Tar Heels into the postseason. Well, Coach, we'll get to some listener questions in a moment, but we've talked a little bit about some of the legends that have stepped aside in Carolina coaching circles over the last couple of months. Replacements have been hired. A couple new head coaches, and Aaron Mattson and Mike Shaw, leading the field hockey and volleyball programs respectively. And what sticks out to me is they're the opposite of you in that they've been hired. Well, hear me out here. They've been hired with extensive Carolina connections, but no head coaching experience, while you had 12 years of head coaching experience, but no Carolina connections. So what advice would you give them prior to embarking on their first seasons as head coaches in the fall?
I always say, as a head coach, your job is to win the locker room. You know, you've really got to make sure that the locker room is one where they take care of it and they trust you and all the things, so that, because they're also recruiting the next group, right? And when you have a recruit on campus and they go off with their players, who knows what they're saying, right? And so you got to win your locker room. And I know it's a little unique probably for Aaron, having been in the locker room. And Mike has been in the locker room, but it's now his, you know. But as head coaches, it starts and stops with the locker room. And if you take care of that, the rest takes care of itself.
Very good advice for those two new head coaches. Best of luck to them as they take the reins of their respective programs. We've got some listener questions to get to, and you can always send me questions on Twitter at MattKrausePXP. Chapel Thrill on Twitter is up first. They ask about Anya Poole and give some numbers here, saying that Anya's been a lot more assertive and efficient on offense the last seven ACC games, 64% from the field. In her first seven games, she was 32%. That's double right there. Has anything in particular led to her increased production?
I think, obviously, without Alyssa, we've needed more from her inside. And as we've gone through a little bit of more half-court actions, you know, we've needed more from her in keeping some depth to our defense, to our offense. So, yeah, I think it's we've needed more from her, and we've highlighted that need better, and she's responded. So she's willing to do whatever we need her to do, and it's been great to have her step up.
Stalinguist on Twitter, and we talked about rebounding a little bit earlier. Stalinguist asks, with Alyssa Usby out, how have other players stepped up on the boards?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I think Alyssa made us all a little lazy on the glass because she just went and go gets it herself. And so it took us a little bit of time, and then we've really hammered down, like, winning your 1v1 matchup. Like, you win yours. And that's why I wanted to highlight the rebounding that we've been doing individually. And so I do think with Alyssa back, we'll also be much better rebounding, because I think we will still make sure we win the 1v1 matchup. We won't just let Alyssa just get all of them. So hopefully that makes us a better rebounding team now that we've gotten a little better there.
Son of Odell is next, asking, when do you feel it's proper to advance the ball to the front court with a timeout late in the game? Are there specific situations in which you do that?
Depends on, yeah. I mean, I think this, the The women's game you can advance, which makes it far more exciting. It's time for the men to catch up. But we do it often because also the other team has a longer way to go to score on the other end. But you're also tighter because you have a sideline entry versus an inline entry. So you've got different looks based on are you going to defend speed? Are they in a do they have a smaller group in, and do you need more space to get it in or whatnot? So, but typically about 90-10, we will sideline advance when we can.
Daniel Jones, our 17-year-old listener who sent in some questions throughout the year, and he wants to work in basketball, as you may recall. He wants to know your philosophy on fouling up three at the end of games. Do you do it? Is that something you decide before the season, or is it something you handle on a case-by-case basis?
Well, you guys remember we were tied with Virginia Tech and we fouled. That is not on our game plan. We're not going to do that. You know, when you're down, it depends on where the entry is, right? And so that's why you guys remember last year against Virginia Tech in the tournament, we entered it to Alyssa, her back was to the basket, and then we had a weak side flare because you have to foul someone when they're making a play on the ball, towards, you know, they're making an aggressive play. And so with her back to the basket, one would argue you can't foul her because she hasn't done anything yet. And so I think they probably would have tried to foul, but we tried to counteract that. So in that situation, if I was them, you kind of have that same problem. Like if you foul there, is it called an intentional because she's not doing anything or not? So, yeah, it really depends on this scenario where the ball is and all that. And with how we've been rebounding on the free throw line, we probably would hedge our bets and hope they missed the three.
Yeah, I noticed yesterday there was one of those situations where they're going for the cookies again. And, you know, first shot was made, so the cookie situation was negated. Second one misses, and Wake Forest grabs the rebound.
Matt, you're not supposed to talk about that.
Well, I said on the air, Coach Banghart really wants her team to grab the rebound in that situation, referencing what we talked about.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
The other advice, by the way, I'd give to these coaches is talent. You know, it's good to have talent.
And that starts in recruiting.
It starts in recruiting, yes.
Which you're very good at.
Well, I spend a lot of time doing it.
There you go. It's Holding Court, and the presenting season sponsor of women's basketball is Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics, believes an inclusive community is a healthy community. We resolve to be a champion for women everywhere by supporting women's athletics to help empower our future leaders. One last break, then we'll come on back and look ahead to a pivotal final week of the regular season with the Hokies and the Blue Devils on the schedule for Carolina women's basketball. It's after this when we return to Holding Court from Learfield. We are back on Holding Court's final segment of the show for today, Monday, February the 20th. Final two games of the regular season are upon us. Carolina will celebrate senior night as we talked about on Thursday. It's an 8 o'clock game against Virginia Tech, 7:30 p.m. Reed's Jewelers pregame show, coverage beginning on the Tar Heel Sports Network. It's the final home game of the regular season. And, you know, the Tar Heels coach in the game against Wake Forest, 11 turnovers. That's the fewest giveaways this year. We'll be giving away a lot off the court on Thursday. First 1,000 fans, sixth man t-shirts. First 500 students, Carolina women's basketball hats. They're blue. They say Carolina women's basketball on them.
Cool.
And I've heard that you'll be able to get your hands on some of those. There's an allotment of those hats that are going to wind up at the basketball office. So a whole bunch of giveaways for that Thursday game. Tickets starting at $10. If you're a season ticket holder, you should have received a link that you can buy extra tickets for just $5 each and show the excitement of Carolina women's basketball to your family and friends. So a whole lot going on behind the scenes to help drive a big crowd for Thursday night's 8 o'clock tip against the Hokies. Stepping inside the lines, obviously it's been a series that has been hotly contested
so
in
awesome.
Recent years.
Yeah.
It's two programs that have grown through the ACC seemingly on very similar trajectories. You played them three times each of the last 2 years. This season, first matchup in Blacksburg, narrow victory for Virginia Tech. What needs to be adjusted in order to flip the results and send the seniors out with a home win on Thursday?
You know, Virginia Tech's one of the most, I think, one of the best built teams in our league. They've got a really elite point guard who's, you know, she's taking about 11 threes a game, can really distribute, can play fast. And then they've got this really elite, you know, 6'5 center. They can score kind of all over the floor. And then they've got a really dynamic four-man. They've got a stretch shooter that can really space it out. So they are a really tough matchup. And so our energy and activity is absolutely critical, which we've done a really good job at. These games have all been – I mean, I think with the last seven games we've played, it's like 7 points have separated the outcomes. And so defensive energy and activity, because they have really good players, is part of the issue. And then conversely, they're not quite as good on the defensive end as they are offensively. And so it's critical that we take it to them, both in transition and off the bounce, because they don't handle their guard their own as well as they could. And they're leading the league in flops, so there's that. And they also have other contact issues that we have to sort of try to ensure that we have a home court advantage on, because it's tough to also play through that. But yeah, they're just, it's two really good teams that are neck and neck. It should be an awesome challenge.
Yeah, the Hokies now winners of six in a row after a home win against NC State yesterday. And you talk about home court advantage. How important is a big crowd? We told you about all those promotions are going on Thursday.
Yeah, it's got to be a sellout. I mean, you guys got to get all your friends. I mean, it's got to be a sellout. We went there, and it was a big crowd. It's a huge game. I think if we win the last two, we host. I mean, it's just a huge opportunity for our guys. And clearly, we like playing at home. And so I know it's an 8 o'clock tip, but we've just got to do whatever we can to have as many fans. I mean, if you've never come to a game, there's no doubt you would come back if you come to one. So, yeah, it's a critical thing to have a lot of folks there.
Yeah, 8 o'clock tip on Thursday. Brew some coffee on Friday. Make an excuse to your boss as to why you got to show up late to work on Friday. You name it, find a reason to be there. And then Sunday, the regular season finale at Duke, noon tip in Cameron Indoor Stadium. It's a building where the Tar Heels had a lot of success last season. Duke is undefeated at home so far this year, but Carolina basketball teams going into Duke for a regular season finale have had a little bit of success there in the past 2 years. Wonder what I might be referencing there. Coach, what excites you about going into Cameron Indoor?
Well, what first excites me is there's lots of tickets available. Apparently, they don't draw quite as well. So let's go. Get yourself there. It's noon on Sunday. So I think we could have a lot of Carolina fans. But it's a great rivalry. It's, you know, with where they're sitting in the league, we have an opportunity to kind of knock them off of an ACC championship, which would be awesome. You know, and it's just a great rivalry, you know. So we're looking forward to. We have our own journey that we're on that we think another win there gives us a chance to host, which is what we want to do. So, you know, be a part of this rivalry. It's not lost on me how special it is, and my guys will be ready.
What was so effective for your team in earning the win against Duke at Carmichael in January?
I mean, they scored, like, I don't know, not many. So
56.
They scored 56, yeah. So defensively, we were really awesome, and then, you know, made some key plays off the dribble. Again, we're pretty good when we get into the gut of the defense, and made good decisions out of that. So, you know, we'll go through our looks from how we scored the last time out and how they've improved and how we've improved. But these are three of the – us and those two teams that we're playing this week are three of the best teams in the league. So it's a great challenge, great opportunity this week.
Well, Coach, it'll be a really fun week. Thursday against the Hokies at home. Sunday against the Blue Devils on the road at noon. We'd love to see a lot of Tar Heel fans at both of those games at Carmichael and Cameron. Coach, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you in the Continental Tire Coach's Corner prior to both of those games, and then in our Sheraton Chapel Hill finale edition of Holding Court next Monday.
I look forward to all that, Matt. Thanks for all you do, really. All right, and go Heels.
It's the head coach of the Tar Heels, Courtney Banghart, on her show. It's Holding Court, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. And you heard it from start to finish on the Tar Heel Sports Network from Learfield.
Holding Court with Courtney Banghart has been presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, official health insurance partner of Carolina Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.